Hello, friend. Come along.
I don't know if you can hear.
I can hear you.
Yes, you can hear you very well.
That's the screen and the source.
Yes, quite right.
I'm not quite sure if you can see.
Oh, we can hear you very plainly. Come on, friend. That is...
Your name is Ross.
Ross?
That's right.
Yes. You're Scott, aren't you?
My name is Mary Ann Ross.
Mary Ann
Ross.
Yes. Come along, Mary. Can you give us a talk?
I find it all rather strange, but I hope that you can hear.
Yes, very clearly, Mary.
You've not been to Scotland, have you?
I haven't been. Oh, when I was a baby, yes.
But a long time ago. It's quite a number of years since I was there myself.
Yes.
In the body, that is.
Yes. When did you live, Mary?
This is Dumfriesshire.
Dumfriesshire?
Can you hear?
Yes.
I find it very difficult to make myself heard.
Oh,
yes. Because I'm no use to it.
Yes.
This gentleman here, he's very interested in all this sort of thing.
Yes, I am very interested.
You had a lot of experience, I suppose.
Yes, a fair amount of experience, I have, yes.
I never knew anything about this when I was on your side of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's only since I came here.
Yes. Mary, can you tell us something about,
I had a wee cottage.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, come along.
I was getting on in years when I came.
Yes.
It's nearly 80.
Were you really? And what happened to you, Mary?
I never married.
Pardon?
I never got married.
You never got married?
No. I nursed my parents in their old age.
Yes. And what happened, Mary, when you passed over, when you died?
It's a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting in the kitchen.
Yes.
Doing a bit of sewing with a lamp.
Yes, go on.
No, I don't remember getting up out of the chair.
Yes.
What happened then? But it's very odd. It was as if the whole room was full of light.
Oh, yes.
And I could see all sorts of people around. There's my mother and my father.
Yes.
And my brother who died many years before. And Nelly.
Yes.
She was a friend. One of my few friends that had died only a few weeks. They were all in the room. And I thought I was having a dream about my people. And it was Nelly that came and she put her arms around me. And she kissed me on the feet, and it was warm and real. And my mother came, she kissed me too, and I took my hand. And the next thing I know, it was as if I was floating through the window. And then everything went black. I did not remember a thing until I woke up. And I was in the bed, in a very nice room, with rafters and beams and things, like an old house. And it was cosy and friendly, and the sun as I thought was shining through the window, and there was my mother. But she did not look the same as when I saw her in my dream, as I thought. She looked young, as I'd seen her in a picture that used to hang in my bedroom when she was married many years before. And she'd got a white dress, and she had a black bow ribbon in her hair, so like I'd seen her in early pictures when I was very young. We used to have a little collection of old photos that Mother had kept in a tin. And it was just as if I was seeing her as she was then. And she'd said to me that I was all right and that I'd nothing to worry about and I was not going back. And I thought this is just a dream. And then she said, no, it's not a dream, it's real. You're alive now. You're not to worry about anything. And she said, soon, when you really record over this, she said, we go out and we meet all sorts of people that you used to know when you were a wee bairn, you know, when you were young. I could not quite see and understand. I could not realize at that stage that I was dead. It was like a beautiful dream. And there was a dog jumped on my bed, and this really gave me a fright in a way. Not that I was afraid of dogs, I was always fond of animals, but this was a dog that we had many years ago that my father adored, and that was killed by a cat many years ago when I was, in my 20s, I suppose. And this dog, we called it Nipper. And you know, to see Nipper jump on this bed, staffing me, I just couldn't realize. And my mother said, of course, the animals here too. And I thought, well, this is, you know, I just couldn't understand that if there was deed, as my mother said, that there'd be animals too. And she said, oh, that's nothing. She said, out in the yard. She said, you'll see a lot of other animals too. I just couldn't take to this at all. I couldn't believe, you know, when you've been brought up as I was, that to a religious way of life, you know, you didn't automatically begin to think of animals being in heaven. And then again, I thought this was too natural to be heaven. I thought it would be quite different and that it would all be, well, like one sees in pictures and religious books, you know, with angels and wings and all sorts of, you know, this didn't seem right. I thought it must be a dream and that I'd wake up. But no, I don't know how long I must have been in this bed, but I know that I felt different. I felt as if I was light as air. And I was curious about myself, and I said I'd like to see myself in a mirror. And my mother laughed at me, and she said, we don't have mirrors here. Mirrors are not necessary. You can see yourself when you know yourself. You don't have to look into a mirror to see how you look or how you are. I didn't understand this at all. But all I know, that I felt so different, I felt so young, and my body seemed light, and I just felt as if I could get up and dance around the room. But my mother said, no, not for the moment. You just wait a wee while, you see. And the next thing, I must have dozed off. At least I thought that's what I did. But it wasn't really quite dozing off. The next thing I knew, I was walking down what appeared to be a lane, you know. And it was beautiful. It was trees either side and beautiful fields. And I could see cattle. And there were all sorts of animals that I'd seen in picture books. And once years ago, my mother had, when she was well, many years before, and my father was alive, we'd gone to Edinburgh. And I remember we went to a place where there were animals. And it was very interesting to see all the different animals there. I just couldn't understand. You know, they were beautiful creatures, and they were wandering around. And no one felt afraid. I didn't feel afraid. I don't know, when there were birds in the trees, and they were whistling and singing, and there was music, and I can only say it sounded like music to me, but there was nothing that I remembered in music, because I was very musical myself, though I never had any opportunity to study music, but I always liked music. And I could hear music and sounds which were, it was a strange thing. It was as if there was the sounds of nature, and there was also the animals and the birds, and it was all so wonderful, as if it all blended together. And I remember walking and walking on this road, and somehow no feeling of tiredness, and I came to the end of what I suppose was the lane, and it was a beautiful white house, all white, and yet it wasn't painted white. The first thing that struck me was that although I could see the house was beautifully kept, that it wasn't painted. It had a sort of luster about it, like mother of pearl, and yet it was chiefly white, and yet there were soft shades of other pastel colours. It was as if it was all aglow. And as I came to this house, a man came out of the door, and my heart gave a jump. That's if I had a heart, but I just felt as if, I can't believe this. But it was a young man that I was very fond of, who I turned down. But it wasn't because I didn't love him. It was because I realized that I couldn't marry him, because it meant that I had to give up my parents, who were getting old and in need of care and attention, and I didn't feel that it was right to put a burden upon a man of someone else's parents, no matter how fond he was of me. And I turned him down, and he never got married, and he moved away from the district soon afterwards, and I lost touch with him for many years. And he came out of this house, and he looked just as he looked, many years before, in his 30s, tall and dark. And in those days, though, he had a moustache. And the thing that, I suppose it's silly how things strike one, but he had not got a moustache anymore. But I could recognize him quite well in spite of that. And he came rushing down the front of this garden path and met me. And he put his arms around me, and he made such a fuss of me, and I felt so overwhelmed, And I felt as if for the first time that I was wanted. I suppose in a way I should not say that, because I was very much wanted by my parents, and I was very fond of my parents, and they were very good parents to me. But I don't know, but it is a different feeling. I can't explain that. And he said, at last you've come to me. And he said, this time you not turn me down. And I did not know what to say to him. And then all of a sudden it seemed as if in the garden all the flowers began to blossom. I don't know how to explain this without sounding silly, but all the flowers suddenly seemed to grow. And it was as if the garden came alive, and there were all kinds of flowers there, flowers that I remember from the earth, and flowers I'd never seen before. And there was one clump of huge, tall, orange flowers, like poppies, but they seemed to go on and on and on. And I thought, if they don't stop growing, they're going to be taller than the house. I thought how stupid this is. I'm so happy he's with Rosita. You know, and yet all the time, in spite of all my happiness and meeting him and feeling at ease and feeling happy, I could see this group of puppies, as I called them, growing taller and taller until they became like huge trees. And then all of a sudden, the petals began to open, and they began to, like, droop. When I see that, they don't mean to say that they were dying, but yeah. It's as if they opened up and the petals folded down,
yeah.
And made like a kind of umbrella. And there were all these beautiful orange flowers, like umbrellas. And we went and we stood, at least I think we stood, underneath, and it was as if through the petals of these enormous orange flowers was a beautiful light, and it seemed to have warmth and seemed to have a glow. And he was smiling about this. Was I said, "Why, I've never seen such big flowers, and I've never seen such beautiful colors, and I've never seen flowers so tall." And he said, "Ah," he said, "until you came, although I planted many seeds in my thoughts that one day I'd have a beautiful garden, it wasn't until you came, it was then that I knew that I'd have a garden which I could be proud of." And he says, "These poppies, as you call them, is my love. This has been growing all the years. I've been watching over you." And he says, "That's symbolic of us in a way." And he said, "Our love together. And now we can be free." He says, "Come into the house." So, then again, I can't see if I walked or if I floated. But it is as if my feet never touched the ground. And I remember going into the house. And it was just as I'd always wished and dreamed. It was not a big house, but it was bigger than anything I'd been used to, and everything seemed to be perfect, just as I would always wanted to have had myself, and the furniture, everything. And it was solid and real, and there were such pretty colors, such a wonderful feeling of home. And he said, "Now," he said, "we're together. And now," he says, "we can make up for lost time." I have never felt so happy. And then I thought about my mama and my father. And he said, "That's all right." He said, "You've finished. Now you have your own life and to be shared with me. But we can keep in touch and we can go and see them whenever we wish. And they can come and see us too. This is, you have so much to learn." And all of a sudden, in the corner of the room, as he was saying this, something I had not seen before, I saw a piano. Yeah. I don't know why I never saw this at first, but because I'd always wanted to be a musician, I'd always wanted to be able to play. I'd always loved music very much indeed, and he had been a music teacher. And I did not realize, I suppose it should have struck me, that he would naturally still be interested in music and that he would, if possible, have a piano. And he said, "Now," he says, "you can have one of your heart's desires. You can become musical and I will teach you and you can learn." And I was so happy and so thrilled. It was just as if my youth had come back to me and all the opportunities that I desired. And all the things that had mattered most to me were mine. I know it sounds so crazy, but and he sat at the piano and he played like an angel all the beautiful music that I used to love so much. And the short time that I knew him, he used to play in the kirk, and he used to play sometimes in the meetings that used to be held in the socials in the village, you know. And he was playing all the things that I'd loved so much, you know, and not only those things, but other things too. And it was as if through him I was almost, you might say, mesmerized into being able to play myself. Because I don't remember, in a sense, having lessons. Of course, I must have had lessons, but it was as if when I sat down later at the piano and he stood beside me, as if my fingers sort of automatically went to the right notes. And I know now that it was him working through me in a strange way, mentally helping me and helping my fumbling fingers, you know. And I know this sounds so extraordinary. And then he said, we go sometimes to what you would call concerts and you hear the great people, which makes me, he said, feel so insignificant, but it gives me hope that I might eventually one day be able to play beautifully. And I was not cross with him, but I thought, well, how stupid. And I said, but you play beautifully. You have a wonderful touch, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, no, no. You haven't heard what I have heard. And I said, well, I'm quite happy with you and the way you play. He said, well, you must come with me and we will go to concerts. And eventually he took me to one place in particular, which was in a, I suppose you'd call it a town, because there were all sorts of houses and large buildings where people were living, and there was a huge place with many steps. And when I first looked at all those steps, I thought, my, my, what a lot of steps. It gets so tired climbing up all those steps. But the funny thing was that I did not feel tired at all. I did not feel as if I'd even climbed steps. But nevertheless, we went into this great place, and it was so vast, and it must have held thousands of people. And there, on a platform, was a beautiful piano, the most beautiful thing that I'd ever seen in my life. It was enormous, much bigger than any other piano I'd ever seen or heard of, and I should imagine it had three tiers of keys. It was a tremendous thing and very, very beautiful, and it's as if it was made of mother of pearl. It had the most beautiful colors and tints. And then a beautiful creature came on. He was tall and nice looking, and his hair was long, and he had fine features, and he sat down and he started to play. Well, I've never heard anything like it. The funny thing is that it seemed as if there were three of the keyboards being used at the same time, and yet there was only the one pair of hands. And whether how, I don't know how the other keyboards were played. I did not see his hands go to the top two keyboards, only the lower. But I could see the depression of notes on the other keyboards, and I can only assume that in some way they were all connected up together. I may be wrong, but it was extraordinary, the sound. It was as if you were carried away by it, and as if you were enveloped by it, and as if you lost all sense of place and time and everything, as if you were in a kind of way with the music and part of the music, and you lost sight of the hall and the people, and even the pianist after a time. It was as if you were transported in a most strange way, as if you were part of the music, and as if it was talking to you and helping you to understand. It was an extraordinary experience. And then, of course, I knew what my friend had said and meant when he said the difference in his playing. It was, of course, a great experience for me, but as I said to my friend, I quite appreciate, and it was a wonderful experience, but I still like the way you play just as much. And I realized as I said that, I meant it. At the same time, looking back, I knew that it was the bond between us, but I realized that this other experience was something beyond ordinary music, and I now, of course, know that all sorts of extraordinary things do happen here, and that there are many aspects, I think you see, of experience which one couldn't begin to explain, but I'm very happy now. But I must say that I had some fantastic experiences, which I would like to recount from time to time, if it's permitted, you know, because I think it might be interesting to other people. And as far as people dying, no one need worry about it at all. It's the most wonderful experience. And, of course, at first it's a shock, but you soon get over that. And if you know about it beforehand, you know what to expect, which is a great help. I didn't, you see, and a lot of people don't, and they don't realize that they're dead at first. It takes them a little while to understand, you see.
What clothes are you wearing now, Roger?
Oh, well, I hadn't thought about it. It's strange you should ask me that, but until you mentioned it, I wasn't even aware that my dress is lilac in colour, and I have a bunch of violets on my dress. But unless you'd have mentioned it, I wouldn't have thought about it.
What are you doing now, Mary? I mean, you part of your music.
Now?
Yes.
I'm teaching children in a wee school, and I'm very happy with that. Because I always loved children, and I always would have liked to have had children myself. And now I teach. But I will come and talk to you, if I may, sometime again.
Thank you very much.
It's been nice talking to you, and I hope I can come again soon. But I have to go. But whatever it is that makes it possible for me to talk to you is not so strong a power, whatever they call it. But I am happy to be here, and may I say I hope to come soon again.
Thank
you. Goodbye.
Thank you for a lovely talk.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye,
Mickey. Yeah, I think she'll come again.
I hope
so. Interesting. Yes. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Keep smiling.